The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Can do and what a person cannot do. And I can tell you, I said it last week. Ask me the major problem the Nigerian church, or the church in general, have is lack of understanding of very basic things. Things like, number one, salvation. Number two, the character of God. See, these two things are very basic. Amen. Because these two things are foundational for doctrine. Even for you to be able to understand the Bible, you must understand these two things. Who God is. You know, there are things I see in the Bible, and I just get stuck. I want to go further into those things, because I know that there are things I've understood in gospel. For instance, this is not God's character. And this is not true about God's salvation. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, he said, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He said, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. So after Paul, or Timothy rather, was exposed to the Holy Scriptures, what he gave him was knowledge of salvation. That's why I believe if you don't understand salvation, don't understand the basics of salvation, and who God is, you actually don't know the Bible. If life is to do anything, but salvation is the basic thing. Amen. That's why when people begin to argue, are you saved? Are you not saved? Eternal salvation, temporary salvation, eternal life, temporary life. I say you must understand those things you're arguing about before you can even say you know the Bible. If not, you don't know the Bible at all. Because the major purpose of the Bible is to teach you salvation in so many ways. Amen. So salvation is important, and then the character of God, the knowledge of God is important. So I'm teaching, or I've been talking about rumors. I will always start with Job 42 and verse 5, where Job was speaking after he had complained throughout the book of Job of how, you know, trying to explain, he has thought of many things, you know. He was passing through tough times, was trying to explain his situation in the whole book of Job. And in verse 5, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. He said, but now my eyes see it. Then I told you, heard of thee. He said, when he says, by the hearing of the ear, that's the Hebrew word shema, which means I've heard of you by rumors. And I said, it is possible that all you know about God are rumors. Things you cannot prove. Things we think it is. This should be God somehow. Well, that may be God doing that. And we are not even sure of whatever it is. Message of this verse explains it properly. He said, I admit I once lived by rumors of you. He said, now I have it all firsthand. And I'm praying that God will bring you to a point where you can have the truth about God firsthand. Hallelujah. Where you can understand it for yourself. You need to come to that point. And let me tell you one more reason why I tell the character of God from every now and then. It's because sometimes there are things we actually think we know, but we discover we don't know them when the die is cast. Okay, I'll give you an example. When I was talking to somebody over the week, things like righteousness by faith. How many of us know we are righteous? So everybody reads that. Everybody knows we are saved. Oh, how many of you know God loves you? You now find the same person that was rejoicing on Sunday, let him make a very terrible mistake within the week. The way he'll be mourning, you'll be wondering, do you even know that you are righteous? So you find out we don't know things because we hate them. You know what I said? We don't know things because we've heard them. We know things because we've kept hearing and paying attention to them. Remember that was I taught you on that. When Jesus said, he said, pay attention to how you hear. Take it to how you hear. And I showed you how the Amplifier rendered it. He said, the measure of thoughts. Do you remember that day? The measure of thoughts and the measure of attention you give to a thing or what you hear will determine the result of that stuff in your life. So I'm not just going to assume that maybe because you've heard what I'm going to say some things anyway before that you know them. I'm going to go further into God's word to try to explain further some of the things that you might have heard or known, or you might not have heard at all. Because I think I'm going to say that will shock many of you. But on the first day we dealt with a rumor that God is mysterious. And that's not true. Last week we were dealing with what rumor? Huh? That God controls everything. If I'm not here last Thursday, if you get that teaching. And that is not true. God does not control everything. As a matter of fact, there are many things on earth that God does not control. Because it is that idea that God controls everything that makes us blame him for everything that happens on earth. But someone goes into school, becomes very stupid, and fails. And we tell him, don't be angry. That's how God wanted it. Amen. Or we meet someone that has an only child. The child dies at 5. Or maybe dies at 18 or 20 after having passed through school. And the woman cannot give birth again. The couple, they can't give birth again. And then we appear there, very painful stuff. Instead of us to just say, sorry, take heart. We just want to find some. Say, that's how God wants you to. Whatever, look at you. This God is mysterious. We can't. That's very stupid. So what should that woman believe? So God, somebody even say, God needed him more in heaven. For real. So God didn't need him when I was training him in school. God didn't need him when I was passing through hell to pay his school fees, selling my wrappers. Okay, and finally, I'm done training him in school. God now needs him. If you don't know what to say, shut up your mouth. Because you see, there are many things we just think God, because we don't understand God. All we know about God are rumors. He said, hey, God, give him. No, this God, we don't really understand it. He's mysterious. Maybe he just wanted a child for real. Amen. I tell you what to do in that situation. When you get there, if you cannot pray for God to raise the child back, just come and say sorry. Do you understand me? Take heart. It's a pity. Accept my sympathy. Don't say God has given, God has taken. Don't talk like that. Hallelujah. And I love how a woman could put it those days. He said, sometimes he comes, then he will tell them, sincerely, we prayed. I don't really know why this happened. You know, sometimes it's good to be sincere. A pastor must never try to act like he has all the answers. We don't. I get the point. I don't know why this happened, but I know why it did not happen. I know a few things. I know it's not God that took your child. You get the point? I know it's not God, but I can't really tell you I have the answers, but this is just take heart. And may the Lord strengthen you. I don't get the point. I'm a pastor, and pastoring people, I tell you, we share testimonies. But I can also tell you, a few bad things happen to people under me. Sometimes after we've prayed. And sometimes we have the answers. Sometimes we even have the answers, but you can't give those people the answers at that point. You know that sometimes we try to claim to have the answers, and what we are doing is we are saying the right thing at the wrong time. So maybe someone had a prompting, had a leading to tell a brother, pray. The Lord says you should pray throughout tomorrow. And the brother refuses to pray. And then the next day someone dies in the family. Now, by that I get, I already know why that happened. But that would be very stupid of me to start saying, well, you see, you did not pray. Do you understand the point? I already know that, but I won't say that. Take heart. It's well. God will fix this, and he always does. Amen. God will help you. God will comfort you. When everything is over, I can, now maybe later when he has to come out, I can say, well, you know that I have one or two lessons to learn from that incident. I have attended a fundraiser one day, you know, not like a condolence, but I got there. By that, they finished telling me their story. I just know why that person died. The people that went with me, I was already telling them when we were going, I said, look at why the person died. It was so clear. I saw in their story three or four different ways that God intervened to deliver that person from dying. But it was ignored. And they told the story. And that would be stupid of me to start telling him, you see now. Just listen. Simple things that God will tell you. That would be very stupid at that point. All they need, you know, sometimes, have I told you this? Sometimes love is better than being right. You get the point? Sometimes loving people is better than sounding right. Sometimes what people just need for you is to love them, not for you to tell them what is wrong, what is right. But then we come to burials, and we just want to sound spiritual. You say, God give it. God take it. This is just the will of God. Man proposes. Hallelujah. So the truth about the character of God, sometimes we claim to know God, but when situation arises, you just find out that, man, I really don't know him. We already know that God is good, but there are things that will happen here. You know, if I come to you and I shout, the Lord is good, everyone shout all the time. But things should not happen. When you now hear them talk, you now know that they really don't know that. They don't understand that thing they said. Are you guys following me at all? The same church shouting, "The Lord is good" all the time, also said that the Lord in his goodness brought COVID-19 to Nigeria and to the world. So you just see, they don't understand what I'm saying. Because if COVID is not good, and the Lord is good, then it can't be the Lord that brought that stuff. Are you guys following me? And maybe I'll start from that. The one issue I'm going to deal with today, I'm already talking about it. One major room we're going to address today, one wrong belief that people have about God, is that God does both good and evil. God can do good, God can do evil. That's a lie. And I'm going to have to correct that this evening. And many of you will be set free from some things that will be holding you down. Because you know, most of you think the greatest strength of Satan is his power. No. The greatest strength of Satan is his strategy. And one of his major strategies is that he tells lies. The first time we saw Satan appear in the Bible as the serpent, he didn't make anybody sick. He didn't make anybody poor. That's not his strength. The first thing Satan did in the Bible to someone was to lie to the person. And ask me what Satan is doing in the world till tomorrow. He's lying to people. And what major lie he will tell you is that he will lie to you about the character of God. And what was the first lie Satan ever told anybody in the Bible? He lied about what God said. Did God say you should that if you eat this, you will die? He said, the Lord said, don't mind God. He's not correct. He's just lying about God. That's what he keeps doing. So he keeps misrepresenting the character of God. And one of the lies he tells us is that God does good, and God also does evil. So sometimes, and there is a scripture, or there are scriptures that make it look like God does good and evil. And I can show you some of them before you even open them. One is Isaiah 45 and verse 7. Isaiah 45 and verse 7. Hallelujah. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Hallelujah. And so we say, sir, this is very clear. Let me say a few things about Bible study before we continue. You see, I've explained to you the Old Testament, the New Testament, the epistles, and all that. Biblical conclusions are drawn from the epistles. Have I explained that to you before? And look at why you do that. The Old Testament is the scriptures, not the New. The New Testament is not the scripture. The Old Testament is the scripture. Genesis to Malachi is the scriptures. Amen? The four gospels are let me call it an eyewitness account of the life and ministry of Jesus on earth. The Acts of the Apostles are also eyewitness accounts of the life of some apostles that just have died. Not all, some of them. Majorly Peter and Paul. Do you understand? Majorly Peter and Paul. Now, the epistles are the explanation of the Old Testament. So what the epistles are the explanation. So the branch of the epistles are explaining the Old Testament. I'm putting it in better perspective. Now, why does the Old Testament have to be put in a better perspective? Because the writers of the Old Testament did not have full revelation of the character of God. Have I explained that here before? They didn't have full revelation of the character of God. They didn't really know God. Why? Because we have shown from the first day that God can only be known in Christ. It was until Christ came, according to John 1 verse 18, that God was fully revealed. So they wrote based on the light that was available to them at that point. So how do we read the Old Testament? We read the whole of the Old Testament, but then we interpret the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament. Are you following me? So somebody cannot say, the Bible said, but God also said in the Old Testament. No, the Old Testament is read in the light of the New. Are you following me? Let me give an example. If you read God, you never knew I did this. There's a place in the Bible where the Bible tells us that God made David, or caused David, to number the people of Israel. And when he numbered them, he was angry and punished them. Another writer in the Old Testament reported the same event, but this time he said that it was Satan that entered David. You get the point? And made him number full of Israel. Are you guys following me at all? Same story. Different authors. One said God, one said Satan. So which one do we believe? Sir? That's why I told you the Bible contradicts itself. Well, that is not true. I told you the truth about the Bible. The truth about the Bible is that every confusion in the Bible has its answer in the Bible. So how do we now know? Was it God or was it Satan? All you have to do is go to the epistles. What did the epistles say concerning God? If you are confused about this, maybe I will suggest, I think it was last two months that I did a teaching on something about Bible study. What was that teaching? Lessons in Bible study. Yeah. Lessons in Bible study. Okay, so you get that. I explained how to study the Bible, then how to understand the Bible. So when you read places like Isaiah 45 verse 7, where it says, I create good and evil. Well, it's confusing because by the time you now check other parts of the Bible, even other parts of the Old Testament, you will not agree with this. I'll give you one example. Before I give you an example, let me make a statement. Everything in the Bible is truly stated. But everything in the Bible is not a statement of truth. Okay, that's not confusing. You will think very well. Everything in the Bible is truly stated. Historically correct. But everything in the Bible is not a statement of truth. Okay, let me give an example. So there are people that spoke in the Bible and what they said were not true. Is that correct? Okay, let me give a perfect example. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not die, because if you eat this, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. That was stated in the Bible. But it's not a statement of truth. Are you guys following me at all? But it's truly said, we mean that it's actually, that story actually happened. Historically, it happened. Do you understand? But whether the statement is true or not, we don't have to study. Because in the Bible, God spoke. Men spoke. Satan spoke. Even donkey spoke in the Bible. Are you guys following me at all? And so that's why it calls for Bible study. Because Job says, I think in Job 2 verse 10, when Job was passing through hell, he told his wife, will you receive good from God and not evil? Making it look like God gave me good. So in other words, every time God is giving you good, you should open your hands to expect evil. That's terrible. It is statements like this that made Job to finally speak in Job 42 to say, I've heard of thee by rumor, but now I repent of everything I know. I now see you better. Are you following me? So, actually, God does not do good and evil. And if I say confused, it's fine. If I'm done, you will not be confused again. I'm anointed to bring clarity. In Psalm 86 and verse 5, let's just see some scriptures. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Let's read together, everybody. For thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. They say, God is good, God is plenteous in mercy. In Psalm 100 and verse 5. Psalm 100 and verse 5. For the Lord is good, say amen. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 106 and verse 1. The Lord is good. I'm starting from the Old Testament for a reason. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 107 and verse 1. Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 118 and verse 29. Psalm 118 and verse 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy. See the same thing reoccurring again and again. The Lord is good, his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Psalm 136 and verse 1. Psalm 136 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So you see, by Bible study law, when you see something reoccurring again and again, you should pay attention to that thing. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. Now, let Let's see something in the New Testament. In 1 John 4 and verse 8, the Apostle John, or who people like to call the evangelist, now said, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? God, now, note, he didn't say that God loves people. That's what he said. He says God is love. So, love is not something that God can do. Love is something that God is. And so, if we go by the... This is the epistle now, explaining God to us. If we go by this definition, in other words, if we want to know who God is, we should check what love can do. Right? Whatever love cannot do, then we can't find it in God. I ain't sure this even everybody. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Next verse. Excuse me. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, everybody. Hearing his love, that not that we loved God, but that he loved us. So God is love. Verse 16. All the way to verse 16. Of 1 John 4. And we have known and believed in the love that God had to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God. So God is defined as love. There are a few things you can see in the New Testament that he says God is. One of them is what I'm saying. God is love. The next one you will see is 1 John 1 verse 5. God is light. Amen. So God is not anything you think he is. God is love. God is light. Hallelujah. So God is not, so, and look at this verse. I love this verse very well. God is light. This then is the message you have read of him that I am declaring to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if anything is dark, can't find it in God. If sickness is dark, you can't find it in God. Amen. If evil is darkness, then you can't find it in God. Is that correct? And so you cannot say that God does good and evil, because it is him. It's no darkness, and the right are added at all. Amen. No darkness at all found in him. Amen. The Apostle James, in James 1 verse 13, began to teach about temptation. He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Why? For God cannot be tempted with evil. In other words, watch this. You cannot tempt God with evil. You know, you get it? In other words, there is no way you tempt God for him to sin. Get this. For him to do evil, nothing you do can make God do evil. What can you not be tempted with? Give an example. No. I want to show you. What can a human being not be tempted with? Huh? No. You can't be tempted to fly. Because even if you're tempted to fly, you don't have the capacity to fly. But I was, no matter how I try to entice you to tempt you, say, you know what? Flying is a good thing for you. Even if you say, okay, I agree. Or I fly. You can't fly. God cannot be tempted with, you can't tempt God to do evil. That's why I tell people, say things like, you know, they were now sinning and sinning and sinning, and God got angry and now showed them. God cannot be tempted with evil. Are you guys following me? He said, the sin in the world was now too much. And when it was not too much, God now said, no, I'm tired. I'm going to send thunder to consume everybody. Just like in Brazil, they were tempting God. And God now said, I'm going to send earthquake to bring them down. God cannot be tempted with evil. Jesus told Satan, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He now said, neither tempteth he any man. Now, in case you don't understand what James is saying, he went further. Next verse. He began to spend temptation. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust had conceived, he bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, he bringeth forth death. I've explained this a lot before. Now, verse, look at this. Do not err, my brethren, you not hear about? Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So what do you have from God? Good gift, perfect gift. So whatever is not good gift and it's not perfect gift is not from God. Are you guys following at all? If it is not good, you know, that's why I tell people, it's not hard to see what God is doing in your life. And it's not hard to see what Satan is doing in your life. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And coming down from the Father of lights. I love this for the Father of lights. Not today. With whom is no variableness. Ooh. Neither shadow of turning. Do you understand that? Maybe you do not. With whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Put up the counter translation of this. Whatever is good and perfect comes out to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes. So when he says he never changes from what? From what we already explained in this verse, what is it? Whatever is good and perfect. Probably like Amplified Classic. Every good gift and every perfect free, large, full gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light in the shining of whom there can be no variation. So there's no variableness from who he is. Rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning as an eclipse. So you can't change this matter. God is good. He gives good gifts. He gives perfect gifts. There is no shadow of turning from it. No variableness. You know what that tells you? That when you see evil, you should know it's not God. And when you read a verse of the scripture that makes it look like God does evil, it means either of these things. It's either you have not understood it well. Because sometimes it is poor interpretation of scriptures that make us see a lot of crazy stuff. Like there's a scripture, as some scriptures I've explained to you today, that will make you feel like, wow, I never knew it was like that. Another thing is, maybe the writer wrote within the boundaries of the light he had there. He said, how do I know if that is the case? How you will know is that in another part of the Bible, he will be corrected. Are you following me? For instance, Moses said, if your wife annoys you, divorce her. But make sure you give her a certificate of divorce. Jesus said in Matthew, I think chapter 19 or so, he said, well, Moses gave you that law because of the hardness of your heart. But from the beginning, it was not so. So, Jesus corrected what Moses said. Are you following me? Moses said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, if they slap you here, turn this cheek. Why was Moses saying those things? It is his understanding of God that is reflecting in his teaching. But as far as Moses and most of them are concerned, God is this straightforward God. See, if you do bad, I'm going to give you back to back. If you do good, I'm going to give you back to back. And that's what they began to do in that teaching. Because what people believe God is what they will be. Are you guys following me? Talking about idols, the Bible says, this is Jeremiah that said, they shall be like them that serve them. Oh, sorry, they that serve them rather shall be like them. So if people believe that God is wicked, that God, maybe not wicked, they wouldn't say wicked, but God used to give people back to back. God used to revenge. Then they will be like that too. Amen. That's why Romans 12 will tell us we should do good to people. We should never repay evil with evil. We must repay evil with good. Well, so we see that God is a good God, only good and not evil. So let's answer some questions. Maybe in answering these questions, we are going to find some answers too. So, what is the origin of evil? How did evil come into the world? Let's start from somewhere. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, the whole of Genesis 1 talks about the creation. Now in verse 31, and God saw saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was... Please, announce that it was what? Very good. So what was God's verdict or God's conclusion after he created everything? He said everything was very good. In other words, anything that was not very good did not feature in God's original creation. Are you following me this evening? Everything that is not good, in other words, sickness did not feature in God's creation. Earthquake was not there. Lack was not there. Poverty was not there. He said everything he made was very good. So obviously, God did not create evil. So how did evil now come? In studying how evil came, we are going to look at how Satan came. What is the origin of death of the devil? You know, there are a lot of things we believe that God created devil. Many people don't believe that. God created a good angel and then he turned to Satan. And God sent him, he turned to Satan. When he turned to Satan in heaven, God now threw him down to the earth. And he now went to the Garden of Eden. And he deceived them. And one guy who was trying to be an atheist, because he's not. You don't know what is an atheist? Huh? Nobody's an atheist. We're just trying to be. But he asked me a very serious question. He said, if what these people are teaching is true, how can God, now knowing the capacity of Satan, send him out of heaven and send him to the Garden of Eden to go and deceive these people? So how can a good God send a bad devil to the garden? Powerful logic, is it not? Amen. So how did Satan come about? Let's start from somewhere. You must realize that God created angels. In Psalm 148 and verse 1, we read from verse 1 to 5 of how God created angels. Praise him, all his angels. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Verse 3. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Verse 5. I'll stop there. Let them praise the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. So everything he listed, he said God created them. So maybe you have been asking, how did the angels come about? God created angels. Amen? Yeah. So God created angels. And one of the angels created, we call him Lucifer. That word appeared in the Old Testament only once. Amazingly. But it's a very popular word for many people today. And that appearance was, I think Isaiah 14. I think verse 5, verse 12 or so. I'm not so sure. Yeah, I'm correct. How had thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? That word Lucifer, you know, means, let me tell you what that word means. That word means morning star. It means bearer of light. And it's very interesting. You know why it's interesting? Because even Jesus was called morning star. Revelation 22 and verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to shew. Okay, is it verse 6? Okay. Go down, I think it's towards the end of Revelation. I want to show you something. Jesus was called morning star. Verse 16, rather, not verse 6, sorry. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Are you here? So, even Jesus referred to himself as the morning star. And the word Lucifer means morning star or bearer of light. Angels, we are also referred to as stars. In Job 38 chapter 7. Other angels were referred to as stars. Job 38 and verse 7. He said, when the morning stars sang together, referring to the angel, and all the sons of God. Probably like NLT of this. KJB says sons of God. He said, as the morning stars sang together and all the angels. So morning star here refers to angels. So why are you showing us all this? I'm showing you that what God created was a morning star and not the devil. Do you understand? Even though you should be careful with the word Lucifer, because it now refers to Satan in our generation. But originally the word Lucifer is not a bad word. It simply means morning star. Amen. Amen. You just remember that. Never, you are Lucifer. He said, God forbid. Hallelujah. Now, that already shows you that Lucifer was created by God, but devil was not created by God. So, Lucifer was not created as a bad entity. He was created as morning star, bearer of light. Amen. As we progress, we'll see other things about Lucifer shortly. How he was when God created him. Bearer of light. Now, why was Lucifer created? That's not a difficult question. People say, oh, he was a singer in heaven. Well, let's not even get into that argument now. That's not supposed to be a hard question. The only thing you have to ask yourself is, why were angels created? Because Lucifer was created as an angel. Why were angels created? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14. Hebrews 1, verse 13. He said, but to which of the angels said he at any time, stay on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Verse 14. Are they not all? Did they have first angels? Are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister to them, for them that shall be heirs of salvation. So angels were sent to minister for men. Angels were created to serve men. Don't miss what I'm saying this evening. If you miss it, you not only miss what I'm, you not only don't know the character of God, you not even know what you have in Christ. The purpose angels were created was to serve men. To serve men. Angels, you are not created to serve God. If you argue with that, I'm going to ask you, what are angels doing for God in heaven? Washing his car. It is men that should serve God. God wants men to praise him. God wants men to serve him. I'm not saying there's no singing in heaven, but that's not why angels were created. They were created to serve man. Created to minister to those that shall be heirs. Probably like NLT of this. NLT. There's one more thing I want to show you on this before I proceed. Therefore, angels are only servant spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. That's believers, you and I. Amen. The writer of Hebrews talking about us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, he said, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Hallelujah. We have come to Mount Zion. Go down. It's 29. Okay, no, sorry. Verse 18. Abi? I should be correct. Verse 18. Yes, I'm correct. We're not come unto a man that might be touched, that burn with fire unto blackness, and darkness and tempest. Continue. Quickly. And the sound of trumpet, verse 20. Go all the way to verse 22. But you are come unto Mount, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. So one of the things that we came to in salvation, we came to angels. There to serve us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34, that the angels of the Lord encamp around them that serve, that fear him. So angels gather to serve you. In Psalm 91, he said, he shall give his angels charge over you. And they shall bear you up. So why was Lucifer created? He was created to serve man. Ezekiel, let's go back to the Old Testament a little. Chapter 28, verse 13. he's talking about Satan. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. So Satan or Lucifer has been in Eden, the garden of God. When was he in Eden? Was he when he was already Satan? Let's continue. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the bell, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle. Glory to God. And gold. Hallelujah. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So he was, this is an angel. Angels are this. I told you they excel in strength. Now see the next verse. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have said this so. So God appointed him to be that to cover them means to guard. So he anointed cherub that guards. So whatever was doing in Eden was for man's good. What I'm trying to show you is that God did not send one fallen Satan into Eden to go and destroy the people of God. He said, anyway, I'm not the cherub that covereth, and I have said this so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of souls of fire. He was in Eden. What now happened in verse 15? Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. Are you guys following me? So it was, Satan was perfect serving God in the garden, actually serving man until iniquity was found. Amen. Now somebody says, so what was that iniquity? The mistake many of us say is like, okay, he wanted to be like God. He said, I'm going to be God. I want to overthrow God. Well, that's still not correct. Amen. I'm playing with everything you know. That's not totally correct. Let's see why Satan, what was the iniquity? If I show you the iniquity, you will now see why I said he has been in the garden. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Who has read God you never knew? I explained this thing because you never knew. But I'll bring better clarity to you today. How art thou fallen from heaven? Because these people have problem. From heaven. When they see heaven, they think it's talking about, a certain exalted place. It's not always true. Heaven, I've told you to the Hebrew man, sometimes means a spiritual place. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou called down to the ground, which this weekend the nations? Verse 13. For thou hast said, now look at what Lucifer did. What did he say? I will ascend. So first of all, he was not in heaven. Amen? Glory to God. Okay. I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above God. Is that what he said? Above what? The stars of God. What are the stars of God, if you remember? Angels. So he said, I want to be exalted above the angels, above every other normal star. That's the first. Number two, I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. Where is this place? Where? Zion. Do you remember? That's when you sing, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. That's in the Bible. The city of the Lord and a mountain of his holiness. Okay? The joy of... Okay? It's Mount Zion, side of the northern city. It's in the Bible. That's where you find Zion. So he was saying, I will sit upon... I want to sit in Zion. I'm taking you to somewhere with this. So first of all, we see his first desire, I want to be above the angels. Two, I want to be able to sit in Zion. Continue. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be the Most High. Is that what he said? I want to be like the Most High. Okay. Verse 15, we'll stop there, then I will explain. Yes, that shall be brought down to hell, to the size of the pits. So, do you observe something? Everything Satan said he wanted was actually what man had. Did you observe that? Start from 12 again. Verse 13. Please watch. He said, I will exalt my throne above the house of God. Man has been placed above angels today. Angels are ministering spirits unto men. angels serve man. So he said, I also want to be in charge so that these stars of God can serve me. He said, I will be in the mount of the congregation on the side of the north. That's, I want to be in Zion. Where are we today? We're in Mount Zion. What else did he say? In verse 14, I will be like the Most High. And today we are like him. As he is, so are we in this world. So the envy of Satan was not to be like God. It was to be like man. So you are Satan's envy. It was his envy of man. Now, I'm taking this somewhere. But some of you wonder, sir, but did Satan not fall before man was created? That's not actually very correct. Because I'm the one that gave that timeline in your head. And I know where that is coming from. It's coming from there was war in heaven. And we're going there shortly. Now. We're going there now, very soon. So Satan wanted to be like man. He wanted what man had. He wanted to be like the Most High. So he was in the garden. And he wanted Lucifer, actually, it's better to use that word, Lucifer. Wanted to be like the Most High. So what did he do? When he envied man, what did he do? He killed the man. He attacked the man. John 8 verse 44. Said he was a liar from the beginning and a murderer. Who did he lie to? Who did he kill? He lied to Adam and he killed him. Sister, is it physical death? No. God told Adam, anytime you eat of this fruit, you are going to die. Okay? So he attacked Adam, lied to him, murdered him. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 tells us that he deceived Eve. So he went after man. Now, hear this I'm going to say now. It was that encounter with man in Genesis 3. If I say this, this will make a lot of sense as we proceed. That led to the fall of Lucifer. Fall of Lucifer, it was not what happened in heaven, where he was saying, I'll be like God, and there was fight. Listen carefully, don't fight. Don't argue yet. Are you here? Let's slow down. So, it was what happened in the garden that turned Lucifer from being Lucifer to being Satan. So how are you sure? Do you realize that Lucifer or the serpent that attacked man in the garden was not a cursed being? It was after that encounter that God now said, you will now be cursed. That serpent is Satan, Abby. It was to when the Satan become cursed. When did he become cursed? After Genesis 3, verse 14 and 15, please look at it. You see where I'm going to with all of this. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou shalt be cursed. This serpent is not talking about like snake, who help you know. Who say snake used to walk before, after this, now began to crawl. That's nonsense. This is a vision. Now, Revelation tells us that old serpent is the devil. Do you understand? So it's the devil here. Now, when Satan said, you shall not be cursed. When the God said, you shall not be cursed. After the fall of man. See verse 15. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel. So everything that happened to Satan happened after the fall. Why am I saying all of this? You need to understand this basically because if you don't understand it, it makes it look like after God created the world, Satan did whatever, and Lucifer fell, and heaven was too hot. God did not want war. So he sent down Lucifer and sent him down to the garden, knowing that he was bad. I get the point. Knowing that he was bad, knowing what was capable of, he still sent him there. That wouldn't be a good God talking. I don't get the point. That's like you give birth to a child, and then you already know that snakes are harmful or that your dog is harmful to the child and you expose the child to the dog. And when the dog finally bites the child, you now begin to complain, oh, why didn't you run? Or why did you come out from your room? I said you stay inside your room, you came out. Are you guys following me? Now, let's see. And so, it was that encounter. Sister, what happened when there was war in heaven? That's a little digression, but let me look at it. In Revelation 12 verse 7, you now read that there was war in heaven. What people understand by this is that there was war, and after the war, when God now won, he now sent Satan down to the earth to come and deal with man. But see, there was one in heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. So you notice in Genesis, he's called serpent, now he's called a dragon. Same person, no. Do you understand? And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. So it's the same personality we're talking about. Dragon, serpent, devil, same person. Called the devil and Satan. Which one? What was Satan doing? Was deceiving. Deceiving who? The whole world. So there was a world. Are you following me? Are you guys following me? Deceiving the whole world. Yeah, he was cast out into the earth, the angels with him. So it's not literal earth as per earth. He was deceiving people. Now, please follow what I'm going to show. He was deceiving people. Actually, this war in heaven that you just read did not actually happen before Jesus came. No. It did not actually happen before man was created. No. When did this war happen? You will see it. Both of us will see it for ourselves. Let's continue verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. So he was an accuser. He was accusing the brethren. Do you follow what I'm saying? Which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 11, let's read together, everybody. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So what was it that defeated Satan in that battle? The blood of Jesus. So when did that battle take place? When Jesus shed his blood on the cross. So that battle is not like that was gone. Are you getting me? And Jamaica, take cover. You go. So the question is, how many angels died in the battle? So after man fell, that was war in heaven. That was, and then Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, loving not their life unto death, by that blood, Satan was defeated. Are you following me? And so, it's not actually true that there was a fight in heaven, and after the whole fight, Satan and I came down and began to deceive people. Amen. He was on earth to serve man. All angels are on earth to serve men. Him with his angels. But he was able to convince one third of the angels. I've shown you that in the Bible. One third of the angels. Convince them. And they wanted to rebel against God's authority. God's authority is that man will be above angels. They wanted to rebel against that authority. And of course, they when they couldn't succeed, they deceived man. But I will tell you, and even the public will tell you, that the sin that man committed was a sin of treason. It's like man handed over their authority to Satan. That was what Satan wanted. But when Jesus came, he recovered. Are you following me, church? He recovered that authority. Hallelujah. Do you still love God's word? So, where are we going to with all of this? It was when Satan tried to overthrow man that he fell. Are you still here? So man, it was in man's interaction with Satan or with Lucifer, and Lucifer trying to overthrow man, that he became Satan. So it wasn't God that created a bad devil. When God was done creating, he looked at everything, he made the angels, everything, he said, everything I made is good. Look at where I'm, let me even drive this home a little. When God was done creating in Genesis 1:31, he said everything was good. In other words, at that point, there was no evil anywhere. It means, but the angels, everything was still good at that point until Genesis 3 began to happen. Are you following me? Now, after man now fell, after Lucifer had now come, that fall of man is also the origin of sin. The origin, because he was the first person that ever sinned was the devil. And he's the first being. by going against God. And he made man to sin. That became the origin of sin. So it's not God that created sin. Are you following me? That became the origin of death. Because God told them in Genesis 2:17 that the day you eat of that tree, you shall die. And I told you how that appeared in the Hebrew. The King James said you shall surely die. In Hebrew, the word surely and the word die is the same word. Surely, so it means you shall die. In dying, you shall die. What does that tell you? That became the origin of what we call spiritual death, what we call eternal death, and also what we call physical death. Are you following me? So I'm saying there would have been no death if man did not fall. Yes, there would have been no death at all. So would the earth be so full? Well, leave God and his wisdom. I don't want to get into that part. Amen. You know, a man of, I think it was Deborah Kenyon that said that one reason why people in the Old Testament, those early times, they lived so long was because they didn't even know how to die. They had never seen death. So they were just living. Adam, now there are something here. This one, you know, just living, just live. They didn't know what it meant to die. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. And so he said, you shall die. So that fall of man became the origin of death. So is it God that brought death? No. It was that particular incident. Because he told them, he didn't say the day thou shalt eat of it, I will kill you. That's not what he said. Do you understand the point? He said, the day thou shalt eat of it, you shall die. So he was telling them, this is the consequence of what will happen to you. Just like you tell somebody, don't, if you do this, this will happen. When it happens, you're not trying, you didn't make the person become whatever that became of him, but you warned him. That also became the source, the origin of evil in the world. In Genesis 3 and verse 16, God began to talk to the man and the woman. Verse 16. Also the woman, he said, now, the challenge we have with this verse, is with the word I will, but clear that from your mind, is not what God will do. God cannot do evil. What was announced to them was now the consequence of what they have done wrong. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. So sorrow and whatever in conception, he said, in sorrow shall that bring forth children. It was not there in God's original creation. You understand? So God never intended that the woman was going to pass through hell to have a baby. It was not God's plan. He said, the desire shall be to thy husband. I want to say some things here. He said, in sorrow shall that bring forth. In other words, this is actually was not God's original plan. That is, that shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. This also was not God's original plan. That a man will begin to rule and dominate a woman. It's a product of a curse. Are you guys following me? So when you see men, but what the New Testament teaches is that wives should submit to their husbands. And husbands should not rule them, they should love them. But you see that idea of having dominion over a person is a product of a curse. It was not God's original plan at all. Are you following me? That also tells that this thing done to women, all these where women are not regarded, what is it called? Gender inequality, whatever you guys call it, is not God's original plan. Are you following me? It was not God was not the author of saying men are bigger than women. It's not God. Next verse. Unto Adam, he said, because thou hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded him, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. This one rendered it perfectly. He didn't say, I cursed it. He said, cursed is now the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So you see hardship. You see suffering. You see, famine, it was not in God's original creation. It was a consequence of the interaction of man and Lucifer that led to the fall of Lucifer and led to the fall of man. See the next verse. Thorns and thistles too shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. See, that's why anybody that is suffering and in poverty and is using God to justify it does not know God. In God's original plan, these things were not there. Suffering is not God's original plan. So you can't find suffering. So you are looking for the origin of suffering is not in God. The origin of death is not in God. The origin of pain is not in God. Till thou return unto the ground. So this is where we first see physical death mentioned. They observe. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat thy bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and dust shall thou return. That's also a cause. Physical death is a consequence of the fall of man. That is why, let me say this. Jesus reversed this thing too. Which is why, when we believe in him as we have believed in him, even after we die, death will be swallowed up in picture at the end of the day. We are going to rise. Why are we going to rise and live forever? Because in his original plan, death was not there. Are you sure this evening? So one day we are going to rise, and when you hear me say we are going to rise, it's not our spirits that will rise. But that's what some of you think. So our body will die, but our spirit will rise. Whose spirit help? It's not our spirit. Say, oh no, it's our soul that will rise. It's not true. You know, when you are buried, is it your soul that is buried or your body? Where did the Bible say we will rise from? Say the dead from their grave they shall rise. The only difference is that we'll have a transfigured body. But it will come out. Because what is going to happen is that original plan of God, that there will be no death, will finally find its expression. So who created death? Not God. Who brought suffering? Not God. When you see sickness around your life, attack that sin. It's not God. It's the devil. Can I even say something? When you see other creations, other creatures of God, things like the sea, animals, you see, for instance, snakes bite, lions devour people. That was not also how God made them to be initially. When you see earthquakes happen, God did not plan that one day there's going to be an earthquake and then things will just shake. How does earthquake happen? Was the ground open? That wasn't God's plan. You know, in Romans 8, verse 18, I don't think, so long I talked about this. Do you have passion? Look for passion. Put up Romans 8, 18. We're going to read verse 20. Like, look for passion translation for me. Look at this. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Verse 19, everybody. "For the expectation of the creature waited." People have used this thing to say, oh, they are waiting for us to manifest. No, this is talking about rapture. When Jesus will come. Go and read it in context. They are waiting for the manifestation, the revealing of the sons of God. Amen. At rapture. Resurrection of the saints. Now, verse 20 is where I'm going to. "For the creature," when he says the creature, he's not referring to man now, the creature, everything that was made subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by the reason of him was subjected to the same in hope. People say, Bible commentators have said, when he says the creature was not subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected him. People say that him refers to God. No. It's not God that subjected the creatures to vanity. He says, so what subjected the creature to vanity? It was that stuff that happened in Genesis 3 that changed everything about, if not just man, not just devil, but even the creations. The trees and everything. Let's read from verse 18 of this Romans 8. Everybody please watch. Are you ready? "I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. But they don't know us yet. But when he shall come, they will know us." Now see verse 20. Verse 20. "For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequence of woman's sin." I am trying church this evening. So it was the fault, that sin that changed the reason why the universe said, oh, not suddenly this will happen, there will be earthquake there will be this there, was not in God's original plan. It was that woman's sin that affected not just woman but the creature generally. But I tell you, he's telling us that when that rapture takes place, not only are we going to be raised, even the creation, see verse 21. All creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. So when that time happens, not just us, everything will come back to normal. God's original plan. So evil was not in that plan. Amen. Sickness was not in that plan. Poverty, God never expected that some people will not have to eat. He never expected that some people will be broke. And so, when you see tough times, never attribute it to God. Because he never created it. And whatever he did not create at first was not in his plan. Amen. So, did God ever plan that anybody was going to be sick? No. It was that fall. If you are still here, say amen. Are you still here? Can I take like 25 more minutes? Thank you. Even if we didn't say yes, I was going to take it. And so, it's not in God's plan. Are you getting blessed? So, who created evil? It's not God. Satan, by what he did with man, became the source of evil. So, let me narrow down on one particular thing the Lord said I should talk about today, just briefly. One of these, for instance, sicknesses. This was how sicknesses came about. There was never cancer when God created the world. There was never headache. There was never malaria. Never. It didn't exist. They didn't exist. You know, that's why when those days, you know, I tell people, why didn't Adam, why did this guy sleep forever? How will they die? You don't realize that death has messengers. Things like sickness, things like, they were not existing then. How would they begin to die? There was no sickness. There was nothing wrong. So gradually the creation began to decay. These days you see someone in his 80s, you are saying, hi, he has tried. Say, he died at 85, he said, long life. But those days you hear things like that this one was 702 years and he now gave birth to a child. Are you wondering? He said at 405 he begat. The plan of God was never that there was going to be sickness, there was going to be pain. That's why when you are sick, one lie the devil must not tell you is that it is God. Or that God is giving it to you for a reason. Yeah. There are scriptures people read, scriptures like Exodus 15 verse 26. And it makes it look like God is saying, I will not put this sickness upon you, which I put on the Egyptians. It wasn't God that put sickness on the Egyptians. No. It wasn't him. We read in Psalm 105 and verse 37 of how that God is a healer. Look at what it says. Psalm 105 and verse 37. He brought them forth with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribe. Nobody was sick. He led them out. Nobody was sick. When Jesus, the true character of God, came to the world, he didn't make anybody sick. The Bible actually tells us in Acts 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we see it everywhere he went, he was healing the sick. He found lack, he dealt with lack. You guys don't have wine, said I'm going to give you wine in excess. You guys are sick, I'm going to heal you, because that is God's original plan. So God never has never made anybody sick. He has never made. If God makes people sick, you know, I used to tell this, you guys, this in jokingly. Sometimes people make God look like it's 419. So God makes you sick, and then you cry to Him, and they carry you to church, and God heals you. And we are praising Him for removing something He puts on you. That's a 419 God. Do you understand the point? So God takes all your money from you, makes you very poor. And while you are begging, now attend the program God Prosperity Summit. And Pastor Henry now prays. And that same God that took all your money now returns the money to you. And then we are giving Him praise for returning the money He stole from you. No. God is not schizophrenic. He's not. God has a definite character. He has a consistent character. He can be known, like I told you the first day. He can be known in Christ. Maybe we'll read places like 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Maybe I'll just look at that today and we'll close. And that's about Paul's thorn. And they say things like, God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh to teach him a lesson. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Sickness is not of God. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7. Sickness is not of God, is of the devil. And I'll show you that shortly before we close. Say, lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me a thorn in the flesh. So Paul is saying, I have too much revelation. And then God said, I'm going to give you a thorn in the flesh so that you will not be proud. And the problem is, you know, the first problem I have with this is people that say that this is the meaning of this verse. I don't have any problem first. But then that's also why you are sick. Do you have a bonus of revelation? Paul said he had a bonus of revelation and had thorn in the flesh. You don't think about revelation. Don't talk about abundance. Don't say that. What is Paul's thorn in the flesh? There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, he tells you what that thorn is. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Messenger. That's the word angelos. Now, lest I should be exalted above measure. Continue, everybody. Verse 8, watch. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for this. It makes it look like, Paul was suffering, he was sick, and he said, God, please heal me. God said, oh, I'll give you grace. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ rests on me. So what is this storm? Just go one verse further. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in, read with me, infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. So the thorn in the flesh are the things that Paul had to suffer because of preaching the gospel. Persecutions. And Jesus promised us that we will be persecuted. Do you remember he told us that? But what did he promise? That when you are persecuted, that his grace will be sufficient for you. So Paul said, I pleaded with the Lord, I'm passing through a lot of this persecution. He said, my grace is there for you. So are we going to suffer persecution for the sake of Christ? Yes. It's not from God, but it will happen. When it happens, God gives you grace to win. But to think that it's about sickness, you know, when prayer for someone in the hospital, we just let pray, he said, don't worry, don't bother yourself. I'm not chineke. Is God giving me this thing to teach me a lesson? And it was very, I don't know how to feel. But I'll tell you some things that came to my mind when she said that. Number one, if God gave you sickness to teach you a lesson, why are you in the hospital? Why are you trying to take paracetamol for God's lesson? So are you trying to remove God's lesson? Why not stay at home and learn? Do you understand? That's the best thing. Because if we are taking drugs to remove the lesson that God is teaching us. Number two that came to my mind. My mind is very mysterious, so don't bother. I wanted to say, where is your note? That you've been taking notes. You know, if they are teaching, you have to be learning. So learning, number one, today God taught me that you're a very bad boy. So you have to change from your evil ways. Hallelujah. Crazy stuff. And I another thing that came to my mind is maybe what you should practice. I didn't tell her this was just going on my mind. Maybe what you should practice is when this sickness is over, you should say to the Lord, Father, thank you for this lesson you've taught me. Please bring cancer. I want to learn more. And when cancer is over, I say, oh, Father, thank you. I've learned a lot. What else is bigger than cancer? What? Give me stroke, Lord. Cripple me, Lord. I need to learn. It's very crazy. If God will teach you, God will bring his word. The lesson God wants you to learn is what I'm teaching you now. If you default, you come to church, God will send his word to teach you. And those days I come very hard on you in church, is God teaching you a lesson. It's not sickness. It's not like he wants to do whatever. You know, I used to ask my friends this. So your son, you want to teach him how to cross main road. Or make sure he looks for crossing the main road. And then you bring your child and say, put your leg here. And the trailer climbs his leg. He says, it's painful. He says, he has to teach you that. Any day you want to cross the road, you look very well. Jesus said, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father? Are you getting the point? So the things you will not do to someone you love, you believe that God will do to you. With all the evil in your heart, there are certain things you will not do to people you love. With all the evil, as wicked as you are, yes, there are people you will not do. That is, you know, that's the truth. Even a woman that is a witch, that thing she will not still do to people that she loves. But God Almighty will bring his people and make them poor. Because he doesn't want them to be proud. Because you can have money and pride will enter you. You see the things, you see the crazy things that you think of your head. I'd like you to know the truth about God's character. God is love. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. When he created everything, he didn't create anything bad. Even Satan, he made as Lucifer to serve man. And of course, whatever happened, happened. Now say there is evil in the world. But never think that he's the one causing the earthquake. Never think he's the one making people sick. Jesus tells us clearly who is the source of sicknesses. In Luke 13 verse 16, he met a woman who was sick. She was bent over for 18 years. If you see this thing have you seen people like that? Bent over. Very painful stuff. And Jesus prayed. And the woman got healed. And people began to complain, no, why did you heal him? And Jesus told them, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound these 18 years. So just made it clear that it was Satan that bound that woman. Never doubt where sickness is coming from. It's from the devil. Never ask question who is scattering your home. It's the devil. It's not God. God can take advantage of what Satan is doing to take his glory. I'll give you an example. Satan can bring sickness and God comes in and brings healing. The glory will go to him. But what God will not do is not to make you sick so that he can heal you and take the glory. No. I get to the point. Even the death of Jesus, God did not say, I will kill Jesus. He was still man. Just like he allowed it. It was still man that killed him. But in the process, it was Satan actually that entered man's heart. But in the process, God took the glory. Because he raised us from the dead, and from there paid for all our sins. Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. See, make it clear that it was the devil oppressing the people that Jesus was healing. So if you're looking for God's character, look at this verse. What was Jesus doing? Doing good. Healing. What was Satan doing? Oppressing men. Say this, I know God. I know him in his son. So it is not God making people sick. But let me even add this. I will come to it next week. It is not God punishing people. It is not God burning people up with fire. Say anybody they do me, some assault and die. That's not God doing that. You say why? God cannot be tempted with evil. He that tempts see any man. Since our people are really dying, have I not explained that to you? People can die. You can pray a bad prayer and it happens. He says, I see the power of God sometimes. Because I can give you a gift and you use it to do what I did not ask you to use it to do. And I won't take it from you. Remember I showed you about James and John. They went to Jesus. Jesus wanted to pass the city of Samaria and they said they will not pass. And James and John told Jesus, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and devour them? You know, I thought Jesus was going to tell them, it will not work, oh, it will not work. He told them, he rebuked them. He stopped them. Because had they called down that fire, it would have come down. Now, hear this. It would have come down. A man of God can use God's power in a way God did not approve. And it will work. With the power of God I have now, don't doubt it. I can kill. And literally, and don't even try it. One word is enough. When God gives you, when you give someone a gift, they can misuse it. I can give you my phone and you start playing ball with it. I don't like how you're using my gift. But if I'm giving you the gift, I will not take it back from you. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Remember that. So you see what Jesus told them? He told them, they said, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? Just as Elijah did. Jesus told them, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. So why did Elijah call down fire from heaven? He did not know the manner of spirit he carried. See, even what Elijah did was not consistent with the character of God. If not, why did Jesus stop James and John from doing the same thing? I guess what I'm talking about. But Elijah did it. Moses in disobedience struck a rock. Water still came out. He disobeyed God. God said, don't strike, speak to the rock. He struck it, water came out. In disobedience, or with the power of God, it still worked. Men of God can play with the power of God. But can I say something? When they meet Jesus, they will give accounts of how they use the gifts he gave them. But what I'm saying is, don't use the results you see here and there to judge the character of God. God does not do evil. Sometimes it's the power of God that a man of God is using wrongly. Sometimes it's not the power of God. It is the devil taking advantage of their misbehavior to act. The Bible says that breaks the hedge, the serpent will bite. Sometimes you do something that will just come in and take advantage and cause riots. But what do we know? It can never be in God's character to hurt people. What we find in God is love. That's why we teach forgiveness. And that's why people fight when we teach forgiveness. You come to a family, someone has killed everybody in the family, only one person is left. And you say, forgive. It's hard. But you know one thing? I don't know why God is leading me this direction. I'm closing already. Revenge does not heal hurts. Did you get what I said? Someone did something bad to you, and you want to get back at the person. After you get back at the person, you will still be hurting. You will still be hurting. You know, I shared a story with you guys some years ago. A lady, you know, she didn't tell me this at first. She told me I was crying. I said, why are you crying? And she told me of how someone raped her. Long story. She was careless though, but she was raped. The guy has been trying many times and finally succeeded. And she didn't tell me at first. So she was very angry. She didn't know what to do. So she sent boys. Arranged boys. And they beat the guy. Amen. Serious beating is not. She told me, I know they do police. I know they do legal process. They beat people. So I said, why are you calling me? She was crying. I said, why are you calling me? She said, they beat him. When they gave me the report of what they did to him, then I began to feel guilty. So she said, I sneaked into the hospital to go have a look. So he's half dead. She said, I'm calling you so that you should pray that he will not die. I said, wow. Very interesting. I said, you didn't call me when it happened. I said, with everything you've done to this guy, do you feel better? Because no, there's something that makes you feel like if I do back, I'll feel better. It's actually not true. There'll be a momentary pleasure of, hey, at least you're seeing what I'm passing through. But go sleep and wake up. Something you've not healed from. Someone hurts you, heal. Let God heal you. Let Jesus heal your heart. Revert from nothing tomorrow, you will still not be healed. Learn from Jesus. Learn from God. You know, I tell you a story. God had people. He created the world. And the men he created rebelled against him. And rebelled against him for over 4,000 years. And one day he came down and finally caught the people rebelling against him. Guess what he did for them? He died for them. When he caught up with his enemies, he didn't destroy them. He died for his enemies. Bible said, greater love has no man than this. No man. That the man laid down his life. You know, what's given across me, one that was studying. He said, while we are yet sinners, that when I saw that, I paused for some time. It's easy for you to die for your brother. But when we have not even changed, Christ died for his enemies. He died for the ungodly. Men that didn't care. That's what defined him. So a God that died for the ungodly, that causes rain to fall for the good and for the bad, will not kill people because you are angry. The wrath of man cannot work the righteousness of God. Are you guys following me? He will not destroy people because you are angry. Say, I'm so vexed. In the name of Jesus, fire, burn them. And now I say one last thing. It's something Satan is doing to our generation. You know, go to the older Christians. Even these events that I held here last Saturday, you heard when that man was preaching what he said. Go to the older Christians. Whether they have light or they don't have light, they know that God never asked us to kill anybody by fire. Go and meet the older scripture union believers. I guess what I'm talking about. It's our generation that brought in all this stuff. Why? We don't even know God at all. We are just angry. Everybody's angry. Everybody. You touch me, you die. You monitor me, you die. You touch me by accident, you die by correction. Anybody that do me, angels of God, Koboko. He that said, I will not sleep, may he not wake up tomorrow. So the question is, who is more wicked? The person that said you will not sleep. I be you that killed the person. The person is a simple thing. Just they take away small sleep from your eyes. You now kill the person. So you see how important it is for us to know the character of God. Because what we think God is how we'll be behaving. So, I want to ask pastors, any pastor listening to me that I've ever listened to this, what kind of Christians are we raising? Love beings or wicked people? Well, that's what as far as I'm concerned. A church prays for 2 hours. 10 minutes, let's thank God. 5 minutes, let's confess our sins. After that, say with me, my father. So, we spend 1 hour, 45 minutes on our enemies. And the man of God was preaching. I was in here. He said, that's why people are dying in church. Because sometimes your enemy is in church. That's not God. Don't tell me because they have results. Or because some men of God, some big thing. You can't use that thing. Even Jesus not allowed James and John to do what Elijah, what he did. Jesus said they should not do that. If you are careful with Bible study, you will see. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. And a certain mischievous fellow said, he didn't give us prayer points. Very mischievous thing. He didn't give us prayer points. So anytime I want to pray for them, I'll pray for them. But he said, pray for. He didn't say pray against. And he says, mischievous. If I woke up to you and said, you know Pastor Amara, yes, please let's pray for her. Would they at all think I'm saying you should kill her? And even the point, you already know what I wanted to do for her is something good. He said, pray for your enemies. Why is it hard to do these things? We don't know God. We've created another God in our mind. What we want our God to look like. You know what I found out? Let me close. With Africa, is that even those of us that do not practice traditional religion, it's still in our head. We still want to look at God the same way we look at Amadio. The God that can do and don't do. The killer. The emperor. Next week I'll teach something. If God gives me time. Next week or next 2 weeks. But I'll talk about sin. What happens when man sins? Does God punish man? Did God punish man in the other time when they sin? I'm going to come that later. But you see this whole stuff about we just want God to look how we want him to look. I'm also touch God, who God really is. If you tell the average Christian to praise God, he thinks that what will make God happy is to call him every big name. Every name, these are not even scriptural. He doesn't realize that all God wants to be called is Father. 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 It will shock you when we get into the study that even the Old Testament saints did not call God Jehovah Jireh. They didn't call God some of those names. Jehovah Jireh, for instance, Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. The place. Now read your Bible. The place. God wants to be known as our Father. I get to the point. As our Father. So know God. Know him. In summary, he is love. He is light. I heard that from Mr. Prince many years ago. He said the two simplest definitions of God. God is love. God is light. And that stood out for me, and I tell you, it's so blessed. I'm so blessed hearing that. God is love. God is light. It can't be simpler than that. Anything that is not love and is not light is not God. For from you are all things, and to you are all things.
You deserve the glory.
Let's not drop it. Mandele kubara talia tuka bataha.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
For from you are. Sang a song many years ago. She said, the more I know you, the more I want to know. When you hear those things, when you hear, I want more of God. Bible tells us that we are complete in him. So wanting more of him will not be to want more of him into you. When you came into him, or when he came into you, he came with all of himself. So when we say we want more, what we actually seek is a better understanding of who he is.
So go take that song 2-3 times today, and I'll leave you to pray. Your prayer is, Father, you see that prayer Paul prayed for the church, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, be given unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his glory. That we're going to pray. The more I know you,
is the more I want to know you.
Let's all sing it like three times. Everybody, hold your voice. Final instruction that goes, it's not in my notes, but just came to me now. I mentioned it when I was teaching, but the Lord said, talk about it a little. Mark 4:24. Thank you, Holy Spirit. With amplifying. He said unto them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. Listen. The reason knowledge comes is not for us to brag with it. There are many things I know, but you don't hear me say them in many settings. I just keep quiet. So what happens to many of us is that we get some of these things. Some of these I've explained now. Some of them are counterintuitive. That things that go against what everybody believes. The reason is not for you to go and start telling you, you are wrong, you are right. Or, no. Jesus said what you do with it is to give it thought and to give it study. That is what will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that will come back to you. So you've not learned this because you heard me. Go back. Stay on the word. Meditate on it. Listen to this again. Study God's word. The measure and thought of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes to you. So virtue and knowledge doesn't come because you've heard the truth. It comes by giving that truth thoughts and study. So what I've shared with you is meant to bless you, but I would like you to go back and give it attention. Stay on God's word. You can get my book, The God You Never Knew. Read it. A lot of answers. Listen to God's word. Stay on it until it settles. That will not just be knowledge in your head. It will now be conviction in your heart. And even when things go wrong around you, you may not have all the answers, but you can tell yourself, I know God is a good God. Are you getting the point? When things scatter, you don't have all the answers. You have all the questions. You're even confused, but you can tell yourself, well, God is still a good God. And you're not just saying it, you're not just paying lip service to it. You really mean it from your heart. God is a good God. Hallelujah. He has never failed. Bishop Polycarp was about to be executed at 86. In case you don't know, Bishop Polycarp was a direct disciple of the Apostle John. The one that said God is love. The one that said God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And 86, they had captured him to execute him. And they began to plead with him to renounce Jesus. Or to even run away. They didn't think he can run away. I looked at them and told them, for 86 years, I've served him, and he has done me no wrong. This is someone that was at the face of death, still saying, he was about to be killed for Jesus, and he's telling them, the man you're about to kill me for has done me no wrong. That's the many people have started whining, oh, I'm about to die, why is life like this? So just after I served you, allow them to kill me. He said, he did me no wrong. That is because the things he's hearing is not just what he knows in his head, that's entered his heart. And even in the face of death, he's saying, the man has done me no wrong. He's still good regardless. I know God. I know his character. I may not understand everything happening to you or happening around you, but I know God. One, I know what I know about God. I know he's not the cause of the bad thing. Two, I know that the solution is with him. So instead of complaining to him and blaming him, I will talk to him for the solution. And he is the answer that I need. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. I ask for everyone here, revelation of the written word. Revelation of your true character. As many that stand has made a mess of because of things that have happened in their lives, I pray that this message brings the healing that you need. In the name of Jesus. And as you're listening to me this evening, you are receiving strength. See, don't go after what the devil has taken from you. The things he has made you to relax about, making you feel like, oh, maybe it's the will of God that you don't have it. Rather, receive strength to go after those things. David said, should I pursue? Should I overtake? Will I recover all? And God said, go. And I said to you, whatever devil has taken from you, go after him. Recover everything. Recover your health. Recover your peace. Recover your joy. Recover your finances. It is not God's will that you don't have any of those things. God is for you. So when the devil takes from you, go after him. The Bible says when a thief is caught, I feel surely in my spirit, a thief has been caught. That man that has stolen your joy, that is the devil. I stole it and put that blame on God. And maybe it's because you did not answer God's call. Maybe it's because you did not do well. Maybe it's because you did not serve him well. And instead of attacking him, you've been thinking you are the cause or that God is the problem. Right now, I feel that thief has been caught. So you go after him and he's paying you back 7 times. Whatever that was taken from you, you go after him in prayer. I say, oh, so it's me here all the while. So I come back for what is mine. And I recover everything that belongs to me in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you blessed this evening? Hallelujah. Let's be seated.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.